we're gonna bring some props up right now, and then we'll call some people up later. But we're gonna bring our props up right now. We're gonna talk about our covenant. Come on up, you guys. Just put it up here now. The covenant of fruitfulness. Everybody say the covenant of fruitfulness. All right, in Genesis chapter 1, go ahead and turn there, Genesis chapter 1, while they're setting things up for us. We want to give you a little bit of illustration today. Plus, many people like to see fruit, fresh fruit. I think it just adds a little flavor to the sermon. No pun intended. Fruit. You got to have fun while you're preaching, right? So we got some fruit here on tape. Hopefully you can see that up there on the screen. Sister Grace is putting it up there. However best you way you can put it. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28, it says, "Then God said to them," and Brother Luke, you hand me my phone right there, my phone, yes. Thank you, sir. All right. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he created him. Male and female, he created them. So who created both? And how many, who did he create? Male and female. That's all I'm going to say. And verse number 28. "Then God blessed them." Now here we're coming into, he's speaking into their life right now. Now I want you to see this. "And in Christ Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, he has spoken into your life and into your heart." You got the same thing he spoke to Adam, the same thing he did for you in Christ. And then God said to them, what? "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the every living thing that moves on the earth." Isn't that good? So right from the beginning, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, body of Christ, God initiated the covenant of fruitfulness right at the beginning. "Be fruitful," he says, was the first element of the blessing. And what is commonly referred to in biblical circles, the dominion mandate. Be fruitful. He was blessing Adam. The blessing got carried through Abraham, just to make it short, you know, Noah, Abraham, and then Jesus turned our curse into a blessing. The blessing of Abraham's ours, and the same blessing of Jesus is ours. And the first element of the blessing is be fruitful. Amen. Be fruitful means this, simply, always and constantly producing. As you can see from this illustration, there's a whole lot of fruit on this table. There should be a whole lot of fruit in your life, produced by God and his word in your life. Now, I'll just give you the definition of multiply on the other one, the same blessing. Multiply means always and constantly increasing. So be fruitful means always and constantly producing. Multiply means always and constantly increasing. Your love walk should be increasing. Your faith life should be increasing. You should get real concerned if your faith's not growing. You should month to month, week to week, year to year be increasing. Amen. Replenish means overflow from increase with no shortages. God doesn't want you to come up short spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. relationally, socially, or financially. Replenish, subdue, total control over your environment and your circumstances. Now, isn't that the opposite and antithesis of pandemic? A pandemic, it by its inference and implication, means that there's pandemonium going on. That things are, what, out of control. Your circumstances can't be brought into control. You cannot control your environment. But subdue means God gave you authority and dominion to have total control over your environment and your circumstances. That means you're not to be dominated by your circumstances and your negative situations. You are to dominate your negative circumstances and your negative situations. Praise God. Hallelujah. So when we see these first words from God, the Father, to mankind, we must understand that every word from God has four edges. Like the four corners on this table, or if you have a table that you're at home, or you have a table in your living room or dining room, whatever, it has four legs. Typically, it has four legs. So the four edges of God's word is creative. You know, God uses his faith filled words that he speaks to create, to cause, to control, or to change. Guess what? You and I have to be. We're children of God. We are to use our faith-filled words to create, to cause, to control, or to change things. Somebody say, praise the Lord. God's word is creative. God's word is prophetic. That means he calls those things which be not as though they were. He speaks the end results at the beginning of the situation. That means he can turn chaos into a cosmos. He can turn nothing into something. Amen. God's word is powerful. We know Hebrews says that the word a lot, God is quick or alive, and it's power-filled or powerful. God's word is powerful. And number four, fourth, God's word is incorruptible. We were all born again, as according to Peter's account in the Epistle Peter, of incorruptible seed. 1 Peter 1:18-20. So we were born of incorruptible seed. That word is like a reproductive statement. That means is sperma. That means we were the word of God was like a man and a woman coming together and creating a baby, procreating a baby. Well, the word of God recreated us and put us into Christ, but it was incorruptible seed. So that means what, sister, brother? It means we have no spiritual defects. Some people always run around begging and bumming and borrowing as Christian, and they think they're defective. Somehow their Christianity or their being in Christ is defective or dysfunctional. That means you have no spiritual birth defects. God didn't put his word to make you retarded. Come on now. Or somehow, some way, inept or dysfunctional. You've got the DNA of God on the inside of you because you've got the word of the living God on the inside of you. And that word was given to you was first and foremost, and when he blessed you and made you in Christ, in Jesus, it says, be fruitful, be multiplied. Come on now, replenish and subdue. See, no one knows a product and a creation like the manufacturer or the creator. I think we'd all agree to it, right? And just like the manufacturer or the creator tests every product and tempers that their creation before putting it out on the market. That's just good sound wisdom, right? I'm going to test this before I. It's like you would, before you buy a car, you test drive that car, hopefully, you know, maybe unless you bought it online or something like that, that's okay. But you would usually test it or look at tests done on it. And, of course, our God, our Heavenly Father, tested you and I in heaven before we were delivered to earth. Now, here's where people get in trouble. They think somehow I'm a broken model. I'm a barren, I'm using unfruitful terminology now, I'm a barren soul. So what are they saying? God, you made me defective. Come on now. Would God put you in Christ to be defective and dysfunctional? Not at all. So we're not just sent here. Friends, you've been tested for positive, for fruitfulness. Now, you know, I'm not making fun of it, nor am I making light of it because it's a serious deal. But some people really amplify and really loudly pronounce when they've tested positive for a certain disease and virus. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? They even bring it on the news. So-and-so tested positive. But you have tested positive, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, here in front of me and those online. You've been tested positive for fruitfulness. And every other test contrary to that is a lie of the devil. Everybody say, I've been tested positive. Come on, you online, say it too. I've been tested positive for fruitfulness. Friends, your barrenness and dysfunction does not profit God. He didn't enable you to be born again and to be recreated in Christ Jesus to be barren and unfruitful. Hallelujah. Neither is he he's the one behind what you and I perhaps have made and created to be barren or unfruitful. He's not behind it. God, I seem like I can't get anything done. Seems like nothing happens. Seems like my prayers don't get answered. Seems like I can't do, you know, I can't. And you realize I can't. It's not in the Bible. So what are you basically saying? God, you made me defective. You've made me dysfunctional. You've damned me with barrenness and unfruitfulness. Oh, my goodness. See, God cannot put down or pull down what he has built. And he has not changed his mind about you and what he made you and recreated you to be and become in Christ Jesus. He's not changed his mind. So if you graduate to heaven, and that's a good graduation, but you have no fruit to show for your life on earth, shame on you. Hallelujah. Your Heavenly Father created you and said, be fruitful. So you must tell every demon and every devil and every evil spirit, come on now, to get lost, to leave my life. Come on now, leave your family and leave your affairs in Jesus' name, because he told me be fruitful. So I'm going to just be and not try to be. I'm going to be fruitful. Amen. Dear friends, too many Christians have settled for barrenness and defeat. But this is not God's agenda and God's will for our lives. Deuteronomy 7:14 and 15 says this, you shall be blessed above all people. Now, come on now. That was an Old Testament blessing. We got a better covenant established on better covenant. What does that mean? We got 2.0. You know, what is the NBA or NFL? What is it, 2K? What is it now? What's the level now? What's the version now? Some of these guys in the back know. 21? 2K22. That's what's supposed to be what? New and improved, right, guys? New and improved. So guess what? You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be a male or female. So that doesn't give you an excuse to say I'm a male, man. Well, they emphasizing the women now, or I'm a woman, and they don't respect women. No, come on now. Put away the excuses or the exemptions. There shall not be a male or female barren among you and or among your livestock. Come on now. And the Lord will take from you away all sickness and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt which you have known, but will lay them on all those who hate you. Isn't this good stuff? Let's go to John 15. Because Jesus was, this is his last week. He's getting ready to tell the most important things in the last. So he's going back to the beginning where God started. So he told them in chapter 14, he introduced the Holy Spirit. He talked about love. He'll talk a little bit more about love here in this chapter. But he's also talking about a lifestyle of fruitfulness in this chapter. Now let's look at this. John chapter 15, verse 1. We're going to read down to verse 8, John 15, 1 through 8. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, and that he might bear more fruit. There's a lot to be said in that verse. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Interesting. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. You can't bear fruit of yourself unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. And he who abides in me and I in him bears how much fruit? Much fruit. And without me you can do. Now what's the context? Bear fruit without Jesus. Because you can do something. A lot of people live a long life and active and busy or bored. Amen. Or bothered when they get old. But the Bible says to you and me in Psalms 92 that they shall bear fruit in old age. Look it up, Psalms 92. They shall bear fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. That means that you should be flourishing more and more the older you get. You should be fruitful more and more the older you get. And I always say this jokingly, you know, you can't retire from the will of God. The will of God is for you to be fruitful, multiply, fill up the earth, subdue it. Somebody say praise God. In other words, we don't take sides. We take over. Look at verse 6 again. John 15, 6. John 15. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and there they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Powerful verse, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Verse 8, this is my Father. By this, what? He's getting ready to tell us. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear how much? Much fruit. In other words, in 2021 language, in that NFL 22, TK22 or whatever, the next level is you bear much. So that you will be my disciples. Now the Lord put a descriptor on fruit. He said, you've got to bear much fruit. So that means all of us need to be aware of our fruit producing. Because how do you know if you're bearing much or you're bearing minimal? How do you know if you're doing a little fruit or you're producing a lot of fruit? We're going to talk about it a little bit. These are four takeaways I want you to think about, reflect on from this passage of scripture. Number one, first, we can only bear fruit in Christ and not outside of Christ. We used to always have this phrase in the old days. I think our sister remembers this, you know, what only you do for Christ will last. Why do we say stuff like that or make a statement like that? Because your fruit is supposed to last. It's supposed to not get eaten or not get ruined or not get rotten. This fresh fruit will, at some point, if it sits up here for a week or so, you're going to see it turn colors. And you know how you set it up on the shelf or set it out. It's going to get rotten after a while and be poisonous and bad. But in Christ, your fruit is eternal. It's not temporary. It's eternal, and it's not earthly. That means you're doing things from an eternal perspective. Because this matters in time, it will be a big deal in eternity. Secondly, Jesus, our Lord, identified two types of branches. He said, I'm the vine. He told us who he was. He said, you are the branches. So he said two types of branches. There's fruit-bearing branches, and unfortunately, there's barren ones that don't bear any fruit. So they may look similar for a while, and appearances may be deceptive, of course, and deceiving, but failure to produce fruit will show who they really are. If the Lord can't come and pick some fruit off your life and show evidence that there's fruit being produced from your life, then you're probably barren and not fruit-bearing. Thirdly, God is glorified when we bear much fruit. God, our Father, is glorified and magnified when we bear much fruit. And then fourthly, our Lord wants us to produce lasting fruit. Fruit that lasts. What kind of fruit are we supposed to produce, Pastor? The fruit you're supposed to produce as born again, children of God, believers and Christ followers, is in four categories. Write it down real quickly. Everybody should take a note on this. First, the fruit of more souls. Everybody say more souls. This is introducing people to Christ, inviting people to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Preserver, influencing and impacting people with and by Christ. Now, the scripture reference, you can just write these references down. John chapter 4, verse 36. John 4, 36 talks about this. And he that reapeth receives wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. So let me put that in a day-to-day context of reality. Now, you may not have a reaping assignment, but a sowing assignment. You're at a job, you're in a supermarket, you're in a, wherever you're at, a soccer game, band, recital, you know, whatever. And you meet people and the Holy Spirit says, sow some seed. So that means you're going to introduce someone or you're going to influence someone for Christ. And so what you share is Christ, his life, his love, his light, basically the word. And you're sharing that word. You're just sowing a seed. One sows, maybe you may be watering. That means they went to somewhere and got seed sown into their heart. And God says, I need you to water them. And that means you're saying something else again from the word about Christ to them, and it's watering the seeds that were originally sown in them. One sows or plants, one waters, but God brings the increase, and the harvest gets reaped into the kingdom of God. Somebody say praise God. That's the fruit of souls. So that means we all should be good stewards and good ministers, hallelujah, not just good members, but good ministers to share Christ and to show Christ. Somebody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Another scripture reference you can put there is Romans 1:13. Now I would have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come to you, but was left hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. So he's calling new converts from his evangelistic work and ministry as fruit, the fruit of more souls. Amen. One more scripture reference, because I want to establish you that, because some people say, well, Pastor, that's a little too tall order here. No, God wants you to have souls. Amen. God wants souls. He wants more souls in the kingdom. Amen. Another reference is Philippians 1:22. It says, but if I live in Christ, this is the fruit of my labor. That is the fruit of my labor. So he's talking about fruit of laboring. So what is the fruit of your laboring in the Lord? Well, we would say your work of faith, sharing your faith for Christ. There's a labor to it. That means we always say you should pray, you should prepare, you should plan, and you should practice witnessing for God, witnessing for Jesus. Why? Because you want the fruit of more souls. Second fruit is the fruit of mature spirituality. The fruit of mature spirituality. What does that mean? The positive spiritual growth and progressive spiritual development of four main areas, not all the areas, but four main areas. These four main areas are, first, your walk. So your love walk, your honor walk, your faith life or faith walk, that all should be maturing, growing, developing. Amen. And then number two, your worship. That means maturing spiritually in your worship. So your walk is maturing. Your worship is maturing. That's what? Your prayer life, your praise life. Remember, we talked about the covenant of praise last week. And your committed sacrifice and surrender to the Lord. That means the things of God. Because, see, every day, this right here called, I'm pointing to my hand here, if you can see me online, or here, I'm pointing to my hand. This right here is called, it's a figurative sense, but literally it's called your flesh or your skin, your body. But you don't want to be ruled by your body. You want to be ruled by the Lord. And so when you wake up every day, your body or your flesh wants to do what it wants to do. And when it comes to worship, you don't want to pray. This doesn't want to pray, your body. So it has all kinds of excuses. I'm hungry. I don't feel good. I'm behind schedule. I'm in a hurry. But you have to surrender. Part of your worship is Romans 12:1. Write that reference down. Reference Romans 12:1, where he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, this right here, as a living sacrifice. What is that? Worship. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable worship or reasonable duty. That is your worship, is to lay your body on the altar and say, Lord, use my body. Here it is. You get to use it today. I surrender it to you. I lay it on the altar of sacrifice for your service. Now, how do you grow in that? You get more consistent at that. Because if you control your body and your flesh, your desires and your impulses and cravings of your flesh, you're not going to be worshiping God very much. You're not going to pray to God very much because you're going to be in control and not the Lord. You know, Lord, one of the words for definition of the word Lord is master, owner, and controller. That means he gets to tell you what to do. And not you coming back and telling Lord, this is what I got to do. Do you know what I got to do today? Do you know how many appointments I got today? So you got to grow in maturity in your worship. And then number three, your words. Your words. You know, we said it before, Matthew 12 outlines it. There's no inconsequential words. Words are powerful. We should take them seriously. You can't say, well, I was just playing. I was just kidding. No, Satan's a legalist. He'll take those words and twist them right back on you and give him permission or a permit to come and wreak havoc in your life. Your words are powerful. You have to take them seriously. Words have contain the power to direct, word, according to James chapter 3, the power to delight, and, of course, power to destroy. You've got to harness and discipline that power that you contain. Life and death are in the power of your tongue. So your words have to be disciplined. Your words have to have discretion. You got to know when to say and how to say it and what to say. You can't have indiscretion with your words because you can damage and destroy relationships. And you've got to have discernment in your speech. Amen. You have discernment in your speech and your situational and social language and lingo. You can't just get around your homies, your posse, your ace boo coons, your family, and just lay your hair back and just say, I can just cuss and fuss and talk any way I want to. There's no such thing as inconsequential words. Your words have to mature. That means you get more discipline in your speech. And see, when you get discipline in your speech, you're like Samuel and you're like Jesus, where God turns the power up. Because he told Samuel, your words will never fall to the ground. That means what, brother? That means what, sister? That means the words, what I speak, I will see come to pass. What you say, you'll see, because your words will have power. When Jesus came out of the wilderness and taught in that temple, they said his words had power and authority. Power is the ability to produce results. That's called fruit. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So your words need to be disciplined, have direction, have discernment, and have discretion in your life. Number four, the wealth. You need to mature in your wealth. Your faithful financial stewardship and generosity. Your money management and your money ministry. As we said during the offering. Number three, the third area of fruit is manifested scriptures. The fruit of manifested scriptures. The fruit of manifested scriptures. So this is our competency, our capacity, our capabilities, and skillfully to work and wield the word of God. The Bible says in Hebrews 5 that a baby Christian is unskillful in the word of righteousness. That means they can't handle the truth of the word and rightly divide the word of truth. Because they're like a young bird in a nest. They've got their mouth wide open, but their eyes are closed, and they eat everything. I always had these illustrations with my grandson when he's out. So we were out bowling Friday night, and so he's crawling around between, you know, bowling sessions, and it was a minister event, RMEI event, and we were out there bowling around. He's crawling on the table. He's finding stuff on the floor. And so he likes to touch and taste. And so you got to keep him, you got to manage. It's like the bird here. You know, mouth mouth wide open and eyes closed. He doesn't know that gum's been sitting there for 5 weeks under that table. I didn't mean to gross you out, guys out, but you know what I'm saying. You just know that they don't have any sense. They're a baby. Hallelujah. Babies can't handle the word. They don't know how to work the word and make the word work for them. When you have manifested scriptures, you know how to be able to stand on Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Come on now. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Come on. Christ lives in me, and the life I now live this day, come on now, every morning, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Come on. I can do all things through Christ. In the midst of situations that seem very traumatic or troubling, you say, I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I draw my strength from my union with Christ. See, you got to put the word to work in your life and practice the truth of the word of God in your life. What does the word say? And when the word says it, we'll do it. When you don't know how to prove a scripture out or prove God's word to be true in your life, you're not seeing the fruit of manifested scriptures. And then number five, the fourth type of fruit, big fruit. There's others, but these are four big ones that we want to categorize for you today. The fruit of material and monetary substance. Increase. Amen. Now let's look at some prayers of fruitfulness. I'm going to skip the first one. The first one's found in Ephesians 3. But the second one is in Philippians. Philippians 1, it says this, Philippians 1, 9 through 11, it says, and this I pray, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and all discernment. Now, love is the first fruit of the Spirit. So he's talking about fruit. Wait a minute, we're supposed to pray for our love? Yeah, your love needs to grow and develop in knowledge and in all discernment. A comprehensive insight into the spiritual things, that you may approve things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Jesus Christ. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Righteousness means just simply right standing with God. Righteousness also is a definition that means this, God's way of doing things. And being right. Some people like to be right in their own way. But it's better to be right in God's way. And in God's will. Be right in God's way and God's will. So he said, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and unto the praise of God. Now in Colossians, it says it this way. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. Listen to this. Being fruitful. That's fruitfulness right there. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Isn't that good? Now, Hebrews 13:15 tells us that the sacrifice of praise is the fruit of our lips. Giving thanks and praise and glorifying his name. Confessing our allegiance to his name. That's the fruit of our lips. So you see the fruit of our lips. We see the fruit of our life. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So prayer one is that our hearts be root, ground in love, that says Ephesians. Prayer two, that we be filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ. Prayer number three, that we be fruitful in every good work. And prayer number four, that our sacrificial praises and professions, the fruit of our lips, would declare and decree our adoration, our allegiance, our alignment to God, his name, his word, his will for our lives. So what are you saying every day? That's fruit that's coming from your lips, or rotten fruit. Now, if you analyze your words all day, and, you know, for men, they say it's about average about 5,000. Some are less, some a little more. And women, unfortunately, it's way up in the 8,000s. That's a good thing, though. I mean, you got more words to put out and produce, right? But average women, eight, they say, well, some of them go as high as 11,000 words a day. Now, how many of those 8 to 11,000 words, or for guys, 5 to maybe 6,000 words a day, were fruitful or considered fruit from your lips? Now, fruit, if you know a tree, and the concept of agriculture and horticulture, you understand that the fruit of a tree never eats its own fruit. See, the fruit of your lips is supposed to give thanks and glorify and praise God. That means God gets to taste it and enjoy it coming from your mouth. That's fruitfulness. And see, your fruit that you bear for your life is not for you. But some people like to eat their own apples and oranges. But the fruit that you produce is not for you. It's for other people. Hallelujah. So, there are destroyers of fruitfulness, which is called bad seed and bad soil. So I'm going to ask my two good friends here, Mr. and Mrs. Piper, to come on up. And we're going to read the story of the parable of the sower as they come up. Because in this first parable, Jesus was trying to communicate to us this powerful thing that you know, he was trying to reinstate and reestablish be fruitful. So he established some things first and foremost. First, he says in Matthew 13, I'm going to read verse 1 through 9, and then we'll narrate. On the same day, Jesus went out to the house and sat by the sea, and the great multitudes were gathered together with him, and he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some of them fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because there was no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, and they were scorched because they had no root, and they withered away. And some fell on thorns, and all the thorns sprang up that choked them, and the others fell on good ground and yielded crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, before we go to the second part, I want you to turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to narrate this a little bit. Because our dear brother Lou has been tested positive for what? Fruitfulness. He doesn't have the other thing. He has fruitfulness. Okay. So if he looks up, so Lou is looking over this table and he said, man, look at all the fruit that I potentially can produce. Now God, when God looks at Brother Lou, he looks at this. He's potential to produce much fruit. But Ephesians 5:9, as our sister comes in, Sister Yolanda comes in, his darling wife here, and it says to us this in verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Now, we talked about righteousness a little bit. Right standing with God. God's way of doing things and being right. Now, in righteousness, you produce fruit of righteousness. In goodness, you produce good fruit. And in truth means that the word is working in your heart, in your head, and in his habits. His lifestyle is practicing and doing the word. Not just hearing it, but doing it. Putting the word to work. This goes back to that parable of the sower. So Sister Lana is representing the enemy. She's not his enemy. She loves him. They've got almost 50 years of marriage. Come on, give them a hand. That's good. So, but she's got little worms. So she's a ruler of darkness, and so she's assigning little worms and devils that are not good, that are not righteous, and they're not truth. And see, these little demons hang around. So what happens? When you're in the fruit of the Spirit, you bring your fruit potential around badness, not goodness. When you do things that are unrighteous instead of righteous, when you listen to lies and not truth, those little demons are going to influence you not to produce fruit, but to be barren of fruit. Are you listening to me? Now look at this. Look at verse 10. Look at this. And finding out what is acceptable in verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So Lou's looking over this table and says, why can't I produce this? Why can I not produce this fruit? Well, maybe bad things, unrighteous, things that are not God's way, things that are not in line with God's truth are happening. And this is impossible to produce outside of Christ. See, even the pan that Sister Yolanda said is representing darkness. Works of darkness. Works of darkness come into our lives as influencing forces that bring three things: thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. You shouldn't spend time in prayer. You shouldn't praise God. You should complain and pout. Those are negative ideas. They didn't originate out of God. They originated from Satan, from his demon emissaries. Oh, you didn't get healed this time, so you can just go be bad now. Go just eat a whole bunch of fried food and fast food. And just kill yourself. Kill your body. Hallelujah. He said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And what? Expose them. If you don't expose them, you will never eradicate and eliminate. Now, he said, don't fellowship with the unfruitful works. It didn't say unfruitful people. Because sometimes we're in our own room and we're looking at the wrong thing. Put some more on. Load him up. We're looking at the wrong things. We're listening to the wrong things. We're watching the news and we're getting conformed. And not transformed by the truth. Now, how do you feel, Brother Lou? How do you feel? You feel okay?
I'm okay.
Feel like something bothering you, right? Something's influencing you right now. Hallelujah. Now, let's go back to Matthew as we close this up. Isn't that good? Now, he explained what the parable in this way. Listen to this. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. Anyone who hears the words of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one. What are all those little snakes? Those are snake gummies, for those of you online. What do they represent? Demons are standing by, waiting to do what? Snatch the word. He said, the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. That means we can leave online, we can leave church, and the word could get snatched from us. He said, but those who receive the seed on stony places, who hear the word and immediately receive it with joy, yet has no root in himself, but endures only for a time, for tribulation and persecution arises for the word, immediately he stumbles, no fruit. Verse 22, but he who receives the seed among thorns, he who hears the word and cares the word, cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becomes what? Unfruitful. Jesus is trying to reinstate and reestablish our covenant of fruitfulness. He wants this. He doesn't want us loaded up like this. Then he says here, he who receives the word on good ground is he who hears the word, understands it, and bears what? So which ground produced? One out of four. The fourth one. Bear fruit and produces some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Does everybody see this? Hallelujah. Now, let's give our wonderful couple, the Pipers, a big round of applause. Thank you, Lou, for letting us use you as a prop. But how many know that happens on the real? You hang around people. You listen to things, and demons come and sit on your shoulder. Well, the pastor's talking about it, it don't matter. Or I'm going to take notes, but I'm never going to look at my notes. I'm never going to look at the word. I'm just going to let it get snatched up out. Now think about it. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the covenant healing. Several weeks ago. We talked about the covenant praise. We've talked about the covenant protection. But some people don't want to apply and mix faith with it. And prepare to practice it because they heard it. Amen. Now, there's three big elements to fruitfulness as we get ready close. Number one, the sower. Now, who's sowing? Everybody say the Lord. Now, the Lord has, he's the chief shepherd. Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd, but he has under shepherds. He says, my sheep hear my voice. So the word is going forth. In the word going forth today? So the word is going into your heart. You've been tested positive, just like Brother Lou, for what? Fruitfulness. It goes in your heart. So the seed is what? The word. Period. The seed is your word. Do you have seed in the ground of your heart? The soil is the human heart. That's the third element. The sower is the preacher or proclaimer of truth that you've been set under, your pastor or your minister. It's under the leadership and lordship of Jesus Christ, direction. So you're hearing a word in due season. That word is the seed, period. There's nothing else that's, see, so he's telling us to be fruitful. You got to do something with the word. You got to produce from and through the word, and then the soil is the human heart. Now he said the wayside soil represents a calloused heart. They don't understand it, so they're calloused. They don't care. They're casual about it. I don't care what I got out of that message. I'm just going to forget about it. Snatch. Then stony ground represents the casual heart. That means they're light. They have no depth of earth. Now, what ruins fruitfulness again? Bad seed and bad soil. You are responsible for the soil of your heart. So if you're hearing bad seed, like our dear brother Lou was listening to TV news, lies, the devil was messing up his seed. Because there are negative ideas, there are negative thoughts, there's negative suggestions that the enemy of our soul puts in our heart, tries to put in our heart and soul and mind. And then, of course, and then if we our soil is hasn't been cultivated, y'all know in your grass, those weeds grow up quicker than the grass. My goodness. I need somebody to help me get these weeds. But you know what I'm saying? Those weeds come up in, like a force, right? Even in the top Texas sun, a little bit of water, the weeds come on fire. Amen. But see, a casual heart has no depth of earth. They get excited for the moment, but they can't endure for the time. Because time takes time to work the word and to daily be consistent with that word. And when the problems come, the pressure comes, they get offended. And they're asking those silly questions like, why, God, did you let me go through this? Why, God, did you make me have to go through this? They blame God. And the devil's over there snickering. I got him again. And then the thorny ground, thorny soil, represents a crowded heart. What do we say, my sister? If the devil can't make you bad, he makes you what? Busy. Cares of this world. Deceitfulness of riches. I'm going to get my money. I'm trying to make my paper. I'm trying to work. I'm trying to get paid. I'm going to get paid. Thorny ground. Deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in, especially during this season, right? They even got the Christmas stuff on full blast. Black Friday's before Black Friday now. There's no Black Friday anymore. There's Black Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Amazon and everybody trying to get you to shop and spend. Money, 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 get your money. And some folks will offer you credit cards to get the loan for Christmas. Spend up a credit card. Well, praise the Lord. Thorny soil. It's a crowded heart. Is your heart crowded? But the good soil represents a converted heart. A converted heart is one that says, I will hear the word and I will be very intentionally focused and faithful to do the word and practice it. And if I don't understand it fully, I'm going to apply honor to the word, meaning I'm going to think time to it. I'm going to reflect on it. I'm going to recite it. I'm going to research it. I'm going to remember it. And I'm going to review my notes. And I'm going to put honor to the word. I'm going to honor the word enough to, so I can understand how to do this. And how to do this. Produce much fruit. Somebody say, praise the Lord. See, your faithfulness will yield fruitfulness. If we learn to focus on the seeds we take in our heart and souls and the soil condition of our heart, our spirit, then we will learn to be faithful. And if we learn to stay faithful, then we will be and become fruitful. The fruit of most souls, the fruit of mature spirituality, the fruit of manifested scriptures, the fruit of material and monetary substance. Stand to your feet, praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for helping us unlock.